getting angry actually cause you to have a heart attack or stroke or other negative health effects?
That would really piss me off if it does.
Whoa, wow, that's aggressive. Welcome to Talking with Docs. I'm Dr. Brad Weening.
I'm Dr. Paul Zalzel. It's really anger and hate we want to talk about.
Agreed.
Hate, they're tied together. And right now in the world,
yes,
you may not have noticed, but there's a lot of anger and hate going on.
To be honest, I try to not watch the news because it's so depressing.
It doesn't matter. It's all over the place.
Yes.
This side hates that side. That side hates that side. Yeah. Everyone's getting polarized.
Can't we all just get along?
No. But this hate and this anger is killing you.
Okay, so what we're going to talk about, we're talking about kind of the physiology of anger, mm-hmm. why it's bad for you, mm-hmm. and maybe some strategies that you can deal with if you feel like, you know what, I am a bit of an angry person,
yeah.
I don't love it about myself, and I
yeah.
wish that I could be better.
Right. I think that's a good plan.
What are you saying?
I'm just trying to look on the bright side of things.
Brad is getting upset.
Let's play that clip.
That's hilarious.
George is getting upset!
When you think of anger, you think of George Costanza.
Sure.
Right?
And Frank, that whole episode.
Well, just George Costanza in every episode. He gets wound up, he gets so angry, and it's
right.
funny. But those emotions, that hatred, that anger, does psychologic harm, we know that, but physiologic harm now.
Okay, so let's talk about the physiology of anger. So when you have a stimulus that makes you angry, and for everyone it's a little bit different, and obviously the threshold for anger is a little bit different than everyone.
Well, it could be your drive to work, it could be your politician, it could be your neighbor, it could be your ex, it could be an ex-friend.
Sure.
A million things.
Any of them. So what happens is your brain perceives something that's going to make you angry, and this is processed in the amygdala, which is a really, really small area in your temporal lobe that's about the size of an almond.
It's a funny word, amygdala.
Yeah, well, ironically, the word amygdala is from the root from Greek meaning almond.
Good
because
mm-hmm.
in the early 1800s, this biologist found the amygdala and said, hey, it's the size of an almond, let's call it the amygdala.
Good thing it wasn't the size of a kumquat.
That's right. And when we have two of them, so there's one on each side, and they actually communicate with each other, but they do function a little bit independently, and the right side is a little bit different than the left side, just like our brains. So that stimulus comes in, your amygdala says, hey, I'm really feeling like I'm about to get angry. Mm-hmm. So then that sends a signal to what's called your prefrontal cortex, which is really... it's kind of like almost like the babysitter or the overseer of your
yeah.
emotions, and says, Paul, mm-hmm. maybe this isn't something to worry about. Maybe it's not something to worry about. Maybe
yeah.
you shouldn't get angry. And it sends a signal back to your amygdala and dials it down. Or
the prefrontal cortex, the one that the teenagers haven't developed yet.
That's right. And so that's why people can be more reactive. Our frontal lobe helps organize that stuff. So it sends a message back that says, don't get mad. Or in people where it's not very developed, or if your amygdala is really overdeveloped, or it's not proper communication, you get angry about smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
Once the amygdala says, fine, we don't care what you say, prefrontal cortex, we're going to get angry, what happens? So that sends a signal to your hypothalamus, which is like the control center for all your physiologic functions. And when you get angry or you have a perceived fear, almost that fight or flight happens. And what happens is it sends a signal down to your pituitary and down to your adrenal glands mm-hmm. where norepinephrine, epinephrine, and cortisol are released from
right.
our adrenal glands.
And these short bursts of anger are necessary, and they were good for us.
Functional.
Developmentally, they're functional. The short bursts. It's when that anger turns into hatred, or that hatred generates anger in a prolonged period of time, that's when you can have some physiologic consequences.
Exactly. So what do these neurotransmitters do? So epinephrine is the one that raises your heart rate. Everybody's heard of adrenaline.
Yep.
Gets you all jacked up.
Sympathetic.
Yeah. Norepinephrine, also sympathetic, is more related to the blood vessels, and it helps maintain an elevated blood pressure. Cortisol, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Everyone's worried about, oh, what's my cortisol? I have too much cortisol all the
yeah.
time. And chronically, it is bad for you. But in the short term, it mobilizes glucose stores, so you have sugar ready to supply your muscles. It increases your immunity, so cytokines and T cells can actually fight things. But when it's elevated for a prolonged period of time, it's not good for you.
No.
Okay, so let's talk about the specific negative effects of regular episodes of anger or rage or prolonged anger.
Sure. First of all, psychologically, we know that there's a huge body of work that says that's bad for you from a
100%.
Psychologic point of view. And we're just going to focus now on the physiologic. So is this having a physiologic effect on your systems? And yes. How can it possibly lead to an MI, stroke, ulcer, something like that? Like, how can a feeling turn into a physical problem?
I think because of those hormones that we just talked
exactly.
about, the neurotransmitters.
And are we making this up? No. There's some clinical studies that have suggested it. There was a clinical study here, recent one,
okay.
quoted by the Journal of the American Heart Association.
Pretty good journal.
It's a very good journal. Translational research of the acute effects of negative emotions on vascular endothelial health. Findings from a randomized control study.
Okay.
So they randomized people to recall things that made them angry, sad, or stressed.
Okay.
Okay. And then they used biologic markers, yep. markers in the blood, and biologic testing to look at how their blood vessels reacted
right.
when they felt these three things. Okay.
Right.
And of the three, anger, sadness, anxiety, it was really anger the one that had some statistically significant
Whoa,
findings.
You sound like you're angry right now.
I'm getting angry.
Wow.
And it was the blood vessels that couldn't react properly. They had dysfunction, basically. They couldn't relax like they
right.
should. And it's thought that this endothelial, or the inner lining there, of these blood vessels, dysfunction, which occurs because of anger, is the thing that can contribute to heart attack, stroke, and just generalized poor cardiovascular health. So it's been measured, objectively measured. Just recalling, just remembering something that makes you angry
yep.
can trigger this response.
And I think I read another study that showed that 2 hours after a very angry episode, you're at increased risk of heart attack and stroke, which
yeah,
makes sense.
Sure.
You're getting all jacked up.
Yeah. Am I getting all...
You know,
I don't get riled up.
You're good. You get riled up.
You get riled,
you're
riled up.
I'm riled up right now.
I don't get riled up.
I'm riling each other up.
We don't rile each other up.
We Jeff. Never get riled up.
I don't get riled.
He doesn't and I don't either.
Look at you right now. You're riled.
Yeah. Okay. Also, it can lead to decreased immunity. We've long known, or we're definitely learning more yeah. and more about how our gut and our mind are connected. There's a very specific axis between the two. So prolonged anger and episodes of anger can actually suppress your immunity and alter your gut microbiome.
Right. And back to the psychologic aspect, regular bouts of anger can lead to prolonged states of anxiety.
And I think, not to mention, if you're getting angry all the time, I think you feel bad about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Often people, well, hopefully most people are going to have some regret afterwards, and they can even feel it happening and they can't stop it. And that's when we talked before about how your amygdala can kind of be hijacked. So when you have these episodes, some people, because of genetics, sometimes because of childhood experiences and childhood trauma, your amygdala becomes overreactive, and those pathways are not properly developed between your prefrontal cortex and your amygdala. So you actually literally don't have control, but then you have regret afterwards. So
sure.
it leads to anxiety, lead to sadness, lead to a whole bunch of things.
Okay. So hate, anger, bad for you.
Yes.
All right. What can you do about it to try and alleviate these feelings when they come on?
Okay. So top five. So for me, number one is mindfulness and deep breathing. So
right.
in the moment, you slow down, mm-hmm. you take some deep breaths, you can do box breathing. We've talked about this before. Four mm-hmm. seconds in, hold it 4 seconds, 4 seconds out, hold it 4 seconds, and do this over. This is good for your blood pressure, it's mm-hmm. good for your heart rate, and that's why it helps with anger, because it helps you calm down. And mindfulness is really just being in the moment, thinking about what's happening. Is this really something to get angry about?
Okay. One that I like, my favorite one,
yeah.
is exercise.
Okay.
If I'm starting to feel angry or upset or something, yeah. I like to exercise.
Okay, so you're driving your car, someone cuts you off.
Well,
you just gently signal. You go over to the middle lane. You go over to the first lane. You get onto the shoulder. Hopefully there's an appropriate shoulder. And then you go do like some burpees, or what are you doing?
You're making me angry. You're making me angry by poo-pooing on my favorite way to deal with anger.
Okay.
No, I mean, you try and contain it.
Yes.
And then I go exercise.
Okay.
Actually, I don't really get upset at drivers. I try to understand where they're coming from. I'll say, okay, look, well, he just cut me off.
Yes.
It's not his fault. No one taught him how to drive properly.
Okay.
So maybe he had a little seizure.
Okay.
Maybe he had spasm in his left arm that caused him to cut into my lane.
Well, actually, that leads into kind of number two and number five. So number two is what's called cognitive reframing. So mm-hmm. you kind of look at the situation, put it into perspective. It's all part of cognitive behavioral therapy.
Right.
And then before we go to five, the fourth one is pausing. Taking
right.
a deep breath, pausing, or actually leaving the situation, right?
Yeah.
Removing it, recognizing if I stay here, I'm yeah. going to get mad,
yeah.
which shows a lot of insight, and then you leave. But
yeah.
then the last one is the empathy part. And this kind of leads in maybe the biggest one, right?
It is. I mean, so we've said that hatred and anger is bad for you. So guess what? Empathy, forgiveness is good for you. And there is an emerging body of research that's looking at forgiveness
yeah.
and seeing is there positive physiologic and health effects of the act of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Turns out there are some signals there. There's a lot of research going into it now, but it looks like that is really good for you.
I heard this one, actually a minister say once about this, when something happens and you think, this person is, their behavior is really out of proportion to the situation, or they're making you angry, say, you know what? Assume that maybe something else is going
yeah.
on. It doesn't quite make sense. Why is this person freaking out and now
That's
they're
right.
making me mad? Maybe, you know, maybe, like when someone's driving.
That works for the driver.
Right, definitely. Maybe that person's trying to get home because their wife just went into labor.
Yeah, maybe there's a pregnant person in the car that I can't see right now,
right.
but that's why they're driving like that.
Right, so there's a whole bunch of things that happens in someone's day that leads yeah. them to do what they do.
Maybe they don't have a driver's license. Maybe they're blind. There's a lot of reasons why they could have just cut me off.
Maybe.
Okay, so forgiveness, and if you think about it, just about every major world religion considers forgiveness to be a central value in the religion.
Right.
Just about everyone. I can't think of a religion, even like First Nations spirituality, it's in there too. I can't think of one where forgiveness is. And my mom always used to say, a lot of the different religious practices are rooted in health. You know, like
sure.
what foods you should eat, what foods you shouldn't eat. Because back in the time when those rules were developed for the religion, that food wasn't safe to eat or something like that.
Right.
And maybe evolutionary-wise, sort of forgiveness came into the religions because forgiveness is good for your health.
Well, I think they probably learned that, A, it's just a nice thing to do, but also selfishly, the forgiver gets a lot of the benefit, right? Even though you're pardoning someone, you get to lower your blood pressure, lower your heart rate, not hold on to all that stuff, because I can't remember who I think it might have been my wife, even though. When someone does cut you off and you get mad, like that person doesn't look in the rearview mirror and say, what I did there was really not nice.
No.
I feel really badly about cutting that guy off. They don't care. They're long gone. You're sitting there in your car fuming or whatever, and you're the one who's suffering the consequences.
Right.
So let it go. It's like that song from Frozen. I joke about this at work all the time. When people get mad, I'm just like, let it go. Go write a song. Let it go. Let it go.
Because it's good for me to forgive you for that.
Let it go.
All right, Olaf, let's summarize.
Okay. So anger's bad for us.
It's bad for you.
In the moment, obviously, if you're being attacked or being hunted by a bear, like to get angry, that's why it's functional.
Yeah,
These are very rare situations, right? Or if someone breaks into your house. But generally speaking, anger's bad. Persistent anger or multiple episodes of anger, even worse.
Yes.
And they literally can kill you.
And we didn't just make this episode for the viewers that leave comments that are angry towards us.
Oh, nice.
Right?
We forgive you.
We forgive you for
those. We forgive you for your angry comments.
We don't understand why you keep coming back to watch us, even though we make you so angry. But we forgive your comment.
We like
your comments.
I like that.
We enjoy all comments, even the negative ones.
Okay. And so please leave a comment if you get angry, if you know someone that gets angry.
If we make you angry.
Yeah, sure. And if you like this video, like it, subscribe to our channel. Please come on to our channel. We're trying to grow the channel even more. We hit 1 million subscribers a little while ago. We're slowly growing. And share it with someone tastefully and carefully that you think maybe gets angry too much.
Especially if they get angry at you. Hang on.
I got a video for you.
I got a video you should watch. This may not...
Watch it when I leave the room, though.
Yeah. Sorry about your car. Watch this video.
There you go. Now you know.
Remember, you are in charge of your own health and how angry you get and who you hate. Don't do it.
Don't get so angry. We'll see you next time.
Make love, not war.
Okay. It's a whole other video.